Well, hello everyone. Happy Sunday night. Yeah, it's Sunday night there too. It's just now got dark here, so it feels like night. It's 5 o'clock. It's great to see you all. We just ran in the house, literally. Jazz and Danielle and I went driving around looking at RV parks in the area because our dear friend Bill Free is moving to Pueblo. Some of you may know that he went to the Living Miracles Monastery to help out there. I know he did some things there. I don't know what all he did. I know, for example, he did some insulation work, some rooms that were very cold, bedrooms that were very cold. I don't know what else he did. But it looks like he's almost done. And I guess it was in the middle of the night last night. I think he said around 2 in the morning, he woke up and heard, go to Pueblo. I think he just said Pueblo. He heard Pueblo. So we went out today. We went checking out RV parks because if you know Bill Free, you know he lives in an RV. And we found some nearby. So we're looking forward to talking to him and telling him the result of our scouting afternoon. Where's the beach in Pueblo? Well, we do have a lake, and the lake has a swim beach. So there you go. We have a swim beach about 15 minutes from my house in Pueblo. But we do not have an ocean here. However, there's these little bitty hills called the Rocky Mountains, which are kind of nice, that are here. The Rocky Mountains. So, yeah, it's very, very nice. We're here tonight for Holy Spirit Guides. And that, again, is the night that we're looking at Regina Dawn Akers, all of the messages that I've received from Holy Spirit as personal messages to help me out in my awakening. And tonight, the message we're looking at is pretty long. It's called The Reality of Relationships. And I've just given you a link to that message. It's message number 337. So if you want to click on that message, we'll look at that. It's pretty long, actually, so if we don't get through it all tonight, we'll have a part one and a part two on the reality of relationships. I, as usual, don't remember this message at all, so it'll be kind of fun to look at it together. Yep, Cliff, relationships. We're going to look at relationships. We'll see what Holy Spirit had to say about that. But before we go into that, if you all don't mind, what I would like to do is go into prayer first. So please join me. So, Holy Spirit, I am very grateful. I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful for literally absolutely everything. Some things when looked at with the human eyes, when looked at with the human mind, some things appear to be good and worth celebrating. Other things appear to be bad and worth avoiding or worth hating or worth dreading. But Holy Spirit, I appreciate that you are giving me eyes to see that everything is good. Everything is good because everything is leading us in the direction of our awakening. So no matter how it may look to human eyes, what the heart sees is that we're only moving in one direction. The heart also sees that we are moving in this direction together as one, absolutely joined in purpose. Whether we're consciously aware of that purpose or not, the purpose of awakening cannot be avoided. Those who seem to still be focused on the world and maybe appear to have no interest in awakening at all are merely learning that the paths of the world are all a dead end. And this lesson is a lesson in awakening. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you for these eyes to see, because it brings with it great patience, great joy, great love, great trust, and fear is reducing more and more day by day. Tonight, as we look at this message about the reality of relationships, I am aware that we are all in relationship all of the time. Sometimes we narrow our view of the word relationship to think of the romantic relationship, and we make the statement, I am not in a relationship right now. But that's a false statement. We're all in relationship, at least as we perceive ourselves as humans. We're in relationship with family members, with neighbors, with friends, with co-workers. And all of those relationships can be used for the purpose of awakening. So Holy Spirit, as we look at this message tonight that I have forgotten, please help us to look at it with our heart, with the remembrance of our purpose, and help us see how our relationships are helpful. Let us see what the purpose of our relationships are. Let us listen to your message, the reality of relationships. Amen. All right, I see that a few more people have popped into the room. So what I will do is give the link to the message again. And Christian is burping. That's funny, Christian. Okay, so what I'm going to do is just start reading this message. I do know that there's some special character errors in the message. We recently upgraded Regina Dawn Akers, and special characters like apostrophes and quotes all got kind of messed up. So we'll have to read beyond the errors and look at this. Cereal at midnight is making Christian burp. Okay, so here we go. It looks like I didn't have any question at all, just the Holy Spirit started speaking. So let's see what the Holy Spirit has to say. Special relationships are those relationships that you have invited into your life through mutual attraction. They may seem to be highly conflicted, mixed with love and happiness, or they may seem to be purely highly conflicted. Either way, they are not what they seem to be. Either way, they are relationships of spiritual mutual attraction, which makes them especially useful to you. So, we often say there are no accidents. No one we meet is by accident. And this is really what this is saying. Again, it's not only referring to our romantic relationships, but all of our relationships. And it's calling them a relationship of spiritual mutual attraction. And again, it says they may be seemingly love mixed with conflict, or they could even just seem like nothing but a conflict. But either way, no matter what they seem to be, they are especially useful to us because they are brought together by spiritual mutual attraction. So let's keep reading about this, but let's keep all of our relationships in mind as we read. When two souls come together through spiritual mutual attraction, it is because they recognize they are one. Within the dream, and from the ego's point of view, they come together to help each other forget this fact. That's so funny, because of course what this is saying is at the level of what we might call soul, there's an absolute awareness that we're one and that we're to be together. That's to be together for a short time, to be together for a long time, whatever, but we are to come together. And that's the spiritual mutual attraction. But at the same time, at the level of the ego mind, at the level of the wrong mind, what we attempt to do is help each other forget this fact. And that's something I think that it doesn't hurt to be consciously aware of when we're in a relationship. If somebody should appear to be rude to us, making fun of us, ignoring us, pushing our buttons in whatever way they push our buttons, maybe if we can just remember that at the ego level, we come together to help each other forget that we are one, maybe we can just giggle at that and our buttons will not be pushed. We'll just see that there's a game that's being played here and literally just giggle at that fact. But since it's probably not always going to be that easy, I suppose it's to our best benefit to continue reading this message. So I'm going on to the third paragraph. Two souls are working together in love to help each other forget that their purpose is the same. They play the game of forgetting by seeming to have separate wills when they share a purpose to forget they are one. This is a shared purpose of delusion, but the purpose is shared. Thus, the Son of God cannot and does not have separate wills. Of course, what this is saying is that within the illusion of bodies and separate personalities, what we really are is one, playing a game of separation. And it is just a game or a delusion. It's not true at all. We are still one. But we have a joined purpose to play this game. So that even as we seem to attack each other, verbally or even in another way, we're joined in that purpose. Because we're joined in that purpose to forget our oneness. Therefore, we don't actually have a separate will. We may be fighting back and forth, saying, I want this, well, I want this, and it may seem like we don't have anything in common, that we agree on nothing anymore, but actually we're in complete agreement to continue to teach each other that we are separate. So the illusion of separate wills is merely an illusion. We are joined in that. If we are at the ego level of mind. The message continues. From the Holy Spirit's perspective, the same thing is happening. Okay, so that was the ego's perspective. We're here to teach each other that we are separate. But that, even that ego purpose is a joined purpose. Now, from the Holy Spirit's perspective, the same thing is happening. Two souls, as projected aspects of one mind, are being used to express free will. Joined in purpose, each gives the other the experience he seeks. Everything is perfect as asked. And this, of course, reminds me of the message which actually came later, because we're now looking at March 2006, In November 2006, a message came that some of you may remember. That message taught the meaning of love, or the definition of love. And it said, love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. Love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. One thing that's interesting about that definition of love is, first of all, there's no duality in it. Notice it's only spirit. Love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. But it's also talking about the same thing that this message is talking about from several months earlier, that we are actually joined in the purpose of giving each other the experience we seek. And if we are still listening to ego, then the experience we seek is the belief in separation. So we may appear to be giving each other things that we do not want at all. But what we are doing behind that seeming action or those seeming words is that we are very clearly teaching that we're separate. You know, if I get angry at you and I call you all kinds of names, and if I call up everybody else in the room and I talk bad about you behind your back and I try to get as many people as possible to agree with me that you're the evil one, I'm teaching both you and me that we are separate. Love is giving to spirit, through spirit, that which spirit requests. We're playing a game. And we're playing the game because we both want to. That's why Holy Spirit says it's two souls as projected aspects of one mind using their free will, expressing free will. So again, from Holy Spirit's perspective, the same thing is happening. Two souls as projected aspects of one mind are being used to express free will, joined in purpose. Each gives the other the experience he seeks. Everything is perfect as asked. Love is giving to Spirit, through Spirit, that which Spirit requests. Now, continuing on to the next paragraph. Where the ego's perception and the Holy Spirit's perception differ is in the interpretation of the reality of the game. To the ego, the oneness is forgotten, and the reality is the separateness that is expressed. To the Holy Spirit, the expression is only that, and the reality is the power that expresses it. Wow. So again, to the ego, the oneness is forgotten, and the reality is the separateness. Okay? So I am me and you are you. We are not the same. We are not one. I am me and you are you. Period. End of discussion. That's reality. That's the ego's perception. Some days we may get along. Some days we may agree. Some days we may like each other. But then there's those other days, right? When you said something I didn't like, or I said something you didn't like. And not so crazy about each other today, are we? At best, we can like each other, but we're still separate. Now, the Holy Spirit's perception is different. To the Holy Spirit, the expression is only that, and the reality is the power that expresses it. The reality is the power that expresses it. This sentence moves into formlessness. This sentence moves into that which we can't really talk about. It's that truth of what we are. That spirit, that divine mind, which has chosen an experience that is different from what it is, but an experience that it is allowed to experience through its free will. But the experience is not the reality, no matter what it looks like. The experience is that formless power that is choosing to have the experience. So you could say that both ego and Holy Spirit have their eyes focused on something different. The ego has its eyes focused on form, and it believes what it sees. The Holy Spirit has its eyes focused on the formless, and it knows what it sees. So where the ego's perception... Oh, I see Deb is asking, what passage am I reading? Here is a link. Deb and anybody else who's entered the room, I notice we're up to 42, so a few more people have entered the room since I gave the link last time. Here's a link. I'm reading a message called The Reality of Relationships. It's a long message. I am now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm reading the fifth paragraph, 5 paragraphs into it. Let me read this paragraph again. Where the ego's perception and the Holy Spirit's perception differ is in the interpretation of the reality of the game. To the ego, the oneness is forgotten, and the reality is the separateness that is expressed. To the Holy Spirit, the expression is only that. It's merely an expression of freedom, and the reality is the power that expresses it. Or as I said, the ego has its eyes on form and believes it. The Holy Spirit, although it's aware of the form, the Holy Spirit has its eyes on the power that is creating this experience. And it, of course, knows what the true self is. Going on to the sixth paragraph. Within your experience, an experience of conflict is the clashing of two wills. But in reality, It is an agreement within one mind to practice what isn't real. Now, obviously, what Holy Spirit is attempting to do is to move our eyes. To move our eyes from a focus on form, which is where we probably have our eyes most of the time, to move our eyes from a focus on form to literally a focus on formlessness. Holy Spirit wants us to see the appearance of conflict as appearance only. Because the appearance of conflict comes from an agreement within one mind to have an experience that is different from truth. And if the appearance of conflict comes from an agreement within one mind, then it can't possibly actually be conflict. It is literally an appearance of conflict. But wherever there is agreement and wherever there is only one mind, conflict is an impossibility. And this isn't something that Holy Spirit wants us to just listen to tonight and then tomorrow when our conflicts show up between our family members and us, our lovers and us, our co-workers and us, totally forget. Okay, that's not what Holy Spirit wants. So just totally forget it tomorrow and go back to seeing the conflict and the one that doesn't agree with me. Holy Spirit wants us to remember this. The next time we're in an apparent conflict, Holy Spirit wants us to pause within the mind and remember what's really going on. Pause. I'm reminded of the movie Click, right? In the movie Click, he had the universal remote and he could pause the universe. Pause within the mind and remember that this is only an apparent conflict. In reality, this is an agreement within one mind to have an experience that is different from truth. Therefore, it is not a conflict. If we will do that, if we will pause and remember it's only an apparent conflict, but it's by agreement, then what we do is we literally jump right out of the wrong mind into the right mind. And with the realization that it is not a true conflict, but an apparent conflict, we can ask for guidance and we can know immediately what to do, what to say, what not to say. But first we have to move our eyes from the focus on form to the focus on not form or formless. So within your experience, an experience of conflict is the clashing of two wills. That's when your eyes are on form. But in reality, this is what we're asked to remember. It is an agreement within one mind to practice what isn't real. Next paragraph. Healing is a decision within the mind to reverse the game that is played. Instead of using imagined conflict to play a game of unreality, the perspective of healing uses conflict to remember the game isn't real. I'm just going to read that paragraph again because it's pretty clear, but it doesn't hurt for us to hear it again. Healing is a decision within the mind to reverse the game that is played. Instead of using imagined conflict to play a game of unreality, the perspective of healing uses conflict to remember the game isn't real. So when we choose during an apparent conflict to pause and to remember that this is only the appearance of conflict, that in reality, it's the playing out of an agreement within one mind to play a game of untruth. we are allowing healing. We are coming from the perspective of healing. We are no longer thinking with the mind of separation. We are thinking with the mind of one. Next paragraph. Two souls seem separate only with an illusion, so that the illusion of separation may be played. When one soul recognizes illusion as illusion, the memory of truth is shared. Illusion cannot stand in the light of truth. Now, my experience has been to date, okay, my experience has been to this date, that when I choose to be sane in a relationship, the insanity of the other person is either short-lived or they have to leave my presence in order to continue their illusion. Because they can't stand there and continue and continue and continue this illusion of conflict if I am not participating. So if it is really strongly their will to continue this illusion of conflict and I'm not participating, then they have to leave. They have to go find somebody else to play with. So my experience to date has been that if I choose to remain sane, if I choose to remember it's only the appearance of conflict, and that in reality we are one, and that there has been an agreement in this world to pretend something else, but I keep my eyes focused on that truth that we are one, the other person either lets go fairly quickly or they leave. Either way, my experience of the conflict even informed the experience of the conflict doesn't last. And that's because, again, remember, love is giving to spirit, through spirit, that which spirit requests. Through my remembrance, I am not sending out a request for the experience of conflict. And my brother, who is one with me, truly cannot give me an experience I'm not willing to have. However, my brother, if my brother still wants the conflict, can go off and find it somewhere else or even have imagined thoughts about me. But the brother seems to need to move away from me in order to continue that. So two souls seem separate only within illusion, so that the illusion of separation may be played. When one soul recognizes illusion as illusion, the memory of truth is shared. That doesn't mean the person's going to scream, "Oh my God, I suddenly remembered we're one." But there's something in that person that either they'll drop their side of the conflict or they'll leave. Because although it's not conscious to them, something in them knows they cannot continue this appearance of conflict with you if you are not willing for it. They cannot violate your will. They know that you're one. So the memory of the truth is shared. Illusion cannot stand in the light of truth. From your perspective within the world, separation seems very real. Conflict seems frightening. But the mind is capable of remembering truth by choosing not to believe the false. This is what I found in the beginning to be hard for me. It isn't as hard now. But this is what I found in the beginning to be hard. Is there was something in me, I guess we'll call it ego, something in me that wanted the world to be peaceful so that I could believe in truth. I wanted the appearance of conflict to disappear first. And then I could be happy. I could trust God. I could do all of that. And the funny thing is, that's not the way it works. Because until I make a change of mind, the agreement in my mind is still the appearance of separation. I actually have to change my mind first, and then the appearance follows. So what that means is I have to be in the midst of attack, and fortunately I've never been physically attacked in my life, but I've been verbally attacked. I have to be in the midst of attack and remember that I want to change my mind. So right there, why somebody's calling me, whatever they're calling me, or they're telling me how horrible I am, I have to remember. And at first that was hard, because the ego wants to get very caught up in the conflict. So in my experience, and this, and speaking of course about me, it might be easier for others. In my experience, I had to be very strong and very determined, or we might call it very willing, to remember this truth that we're being taught now. To remember this is only the appearance of conflict. And it took a hell of a lot of faith too. Because there was that little voice saying, what the heck are you talking about? This person is an asshole and they're insulting you. Right? And the two voices are going, the Holy Spirit and the ego. And the ego is much louder. And since the form is right there supporting it, you could argue that the ego is much more convincing under the circumstances. And what I had to do was I had to choose the Holy Spirit anyway. And that, in my experience, took a lot of strength, a lot of determination, a lot of willingness, and a lot of faith. Yes, my love. I end teaching in 40 minutes.
I'm going to go take a shower.
Good idea.
I don't know. I thought you ended at 6:15.
Yep, and I end at 6:15.
You're right, Tina. Hi, people.
My daughter is saying hi, people. But as I have already told you, as I went ahead and practiced this, then my experience did change. Instead of having these long, drawn-out conflicts that I had when I believed it was conflict, again, in my experience, one of two things happened. Either the other person dropped their side of the conflict fairly quickly, especially if compared to what used to happen, or they had to leave. They had to walk away. Karen is saying, hi, Jasmine. I don't know if you remember Karen, but she was in our course group in North Carolina.
What'd she look like?
She was kind of tall. She came usually with Steve Sherrill, the older guy.
Oh!
Oh, hi, Karen. Okay, so back to the message. So, from your perspective within the world, separation seems very real. Conflict seems frightening, but the mind is capable. You see that? The mind is capable of remembering the truth by choosing not to believe the false. So you absolutely can do this, Holy Spirit says. If there's a voice in your head telling you you can't, that's the ego. Holy Spirit says you are capable. You're absolutely capable of not believing the false, even if it seems to be highly conflicting right now. You have the capability not to believe that conflict and to remember the truth. Next paragraph. When your brothers seem to enter into conflict with you, remember, that conflict is an agreed to game to teach what isn't true. When your brothers seem to enter into conflict with you, remember that conflict is an agreed to game to teach what isn't true. Look at your brother and accept that he is teaching you that he is not. Let yourself feel grateful for the truth beyond the illusion. In gratitude, the illusion disappears. So again, we're being asked to remember even as it's happening. Right then, while your brother's screaming at you, remember, this is happening because of an agreed to choice in the mind to experience something that isn't true. And that's all my brother is doing, is he's playing that game of what he is not. It's all false. As you are healed, so is your brother. Bless you for your willingness to look beyond the game. Whenever there seems to be conflict, it is because you are choosing to teach what isn't true. Remembering the truth eradicates conflict, as conflict isn't possible in truth. Okay, so that's the end of the Holy Spirit's message, but looks like I needed more. I needed more, so we'll find out what I asked and what I needed next. Hold on. I said, thank you for showing me the reality of relationships. I want to use these relationships that were formed for separation as a path for healing. How can I do that? So I seem to be totally unaware that Holy Spirit just told me how. Really, Holy Spirit just answered that question, guys. I got to admit that. But you know what resistance does? Resistance keeps us from seeing the obvious. Sometimes I feel when I look back at these messages that were written with Holy Spirit many years ago, I see them much more clearly now than I did the day I received them. And that, of course, is because my resistance is actually lower now. My willingness is higher now. My clarity is greater now. I look at this message and it's obvious. But the day I received it, it wasn't obvious. So let's see how Holy Spirit helps me to see when it isn't obvious to me that I've just been given the answer. So I'm saying, how can I do that? How can I use these relationships for healing? Holy Spirit says, every relationship is a reflection of the mind. It is not a reflection of the individual mind, because the individual mind is illusion. It is a reflection of the unhealed ego mind. Every relationship within the world comes together as a reflection of the beliefs and pain that are in the mind. The relationships come together with the purpose of that mind, and they are a perfect reflection of this purpose, of its purpose. Now, I don't think my friend Bill Free is in the room right now, which means we can talk about him behind his back. No, he's not here. Yeah, Bill Free is always saying, he said this many, many times, all relationships start as special relationships. And then as we allow the Holy Spirit to heal them, they become holy relationships. But all relationships start as special relationships, he says. There's always an ego purpose involved that brings us together. And that seems to be what Holy Spirit is saying here. Okay, that seems to be what Holy Spirit is saying here, is in this world, what brings us together typically is an ego purpose. But what we can do is turn it over to Holy Spirit immediately, and then it becomes a holy purpose. So every relationship is a reflection of the mind. It is not a reflection of the individual mind, because the individual mind is illusion. It is a reflection of the unhealed ego mind. Every relationship within the world comes together as a reflection of the beliefs and pain that are in the mind. The relationships come together with the purpose of that mind, and they are a perfect reflection of its purpose. to use the relationships that are made with the purpose of reinforcing separation, to use these relationships for healing, you must be willing to reverse the purpose that was given. You must be willing not to play the game you have agreed to play. You must be willing not to reinforce separation by believing in the conflict of wills. I'm pausing because I'm looking at relationships in the last couple of years in my life. I'm kind of doing like a database check of the relationships in my life, and I'm trying to find the relationship in which I had nothing to learn. I'm trying to find a single solitary relationship in which I had nothing to learn. A single relationship that had no ego in it whatsoever. I'm looking at relationships that were absolutely, certainly guided by Holy Spirit, right? It seems like if the relationship was guided by Holy Spirit, then maybe it didn't have the ego purpose. You know, like my relationship with Laurent, for example. My relationship with Debbie, who was clearly guided with, guided by Holy Spirit. Guided by Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to argue with Bill Free. He's not here, but what the hell. I'm going to argue with him anyway. Okay, Bill Free, you say all relationships start out as special. Dove was quoting that also. All relationships start out as special. Well, what about my relationship with Laurent, which was clearly guided by Holy Spirit? Or what about my relationship with Debbie, which was clearly guided by Holy Spirit? How can you call those special? And Dove is saying that's a direct quote from A Course in Miracles. So now I'm arguing with Bill Free, David Fishman, and Jesus. That makes it even more fun, don't you think? You get to argue with Jesus here. So I'm searching my mind. I'm looking at these relationships, and you know what I'm finding? Even the relationships that were guided by Holy Spirit, clearly guided by Holy Spirit, therefore they had a holy purpose. Even in those relationships, I had something to learn, which means there was specialness in my mind. There was I thoughts, I expectations, I desires. I cannot think of a single relationship that did not have something for me to learn or did not have a way for me to see ego and let go of it. So it seems like if I'm going to argue with Bill Free, Dove and Jesus, I'm going to lose. Because they're right. Every relationship has that specialness. But that's not bad. If we have an idea that all relationships start out as special is bad, then we're mistaken. Because that's exactly what is used by Holy Spirit to help us see and release our ego. Remember, we cannot release our ego without seeing it. So the Holy Spirit's interpretation is that the purpose of these relationships is to move from specialness to holiness. But another set of words would be, it's to move from thinking with our ego to letting go of our ego. So if we look at this paragraph again, it says, every relationship is the reflection of the mind. So as long as the mind still has ego in it, every relationship has that reflection in it. So it's not a perfectly holy, only right-minded relationship. Every relationship is a reflection of the mind. It is not a reflection of the individual mind because the individual mind is illusion. It is a reflection of the unhealed ego mind. Every relationship within the world comes together as a reflection of the beliefs and pain that are in the mind. The relationships come together with the purpose of that mind and they are a perfect reflection of its purpose. To use the relationships that are made with the purpose of reinforcing separation, to use the relationships that are made with the purpose of reinforcing separation, to use these relationships for healing, you must be willing to reverse the purpose that was given. In other words, my ego is going to come up with thoughts in my relationship with Laurent and Debbie, for example, my relationship with Jasmine, my relationship with Danielle, my relationship with Dove. My ego is going to say something. In every single relationship, as long as there's ego left to be heard, my ego is going to speak, maybe varying degrees depending on the closeness of the relationship. But in every relationship, my ego is going to speak. That does not mean that I have to believe it. That does not mean that I have to listen to it. Because I can choose to use the relationship for healing. But in order to do that, I must be willing to reverse the purpose that was given. In other words, I don't want to be afraid of the fact that my ego is going to speak. It's going to, period. Let's accept it. It's going to speak in my own mind. I don't want to be afraid of the fact that my ego is going to speak. But when it does, I want to be willing to reverse the purpose that was given. So I want to see the thought in my mind that is ego. And I literally want to make a decision not to believe that thought, not to follow that thought. Holy Spirit says you must be willing not to play the game you have agreed to play. I like to look at my thoughts, my ego thoughts, as a script. Whoops, call from Ron. Hold on, let's tell Ron something. Hey, Ron. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm teaching right now, and Jasmine's in the shower. Can we call you back?
Okay, that's fine.
I don't get done teaching until 6:15, which is what, 8:15 your time? That's cool. I'll call you then, okay?
All right. Bye.
Love you. Okay. All right. So let's see. So to use the relationships that are made with the purpose of reinforcing separation, to use these relationships for healing, you must be willing to reverse the purpose that was given. You must be willing not to play the game you have agreed to play. You must be willing not to reinforce the separation by believing in the conflict of wills. Again, when that ego comes up in my mind, I have to be willing not to listen to it. When a brother comes to you and a conflict ensues, you must be willing to look in your mind. Do not look at form. It is playing out the agreement. The healing will occur in the mind. Watch the conflict as it seems to play out. Do not expect it to change. Do not expect that your willingness to heal will result in the disappearance of conflict in form. But look at the conflict and accept it for what it is. It is a reflection of the purpose in the mind. Then decide right then, as you look right at it, that you choose a reversal of purpose. Instead of separation, you choose truth. Hold that thought in your mind. Then as the conflict seems to continue, let it go right then as unreal. Everything you see, every thought you think, every desired reaction, notice them. Remember all that I've said and let them wash away as unreal. Now, I have never been the type that could just say, okay, Holy Spirit, I will say it's unreal. Some people seem to be able to do that. just say, okay, this is not true. I needed to know how I could say it's not true. If I believed it's true, how could I say it's not true? I couldn't just do that. And this is what Holy Spirit gave me in the first part of this message, the how, by teaching me that it's an agreement in one mind to have an experience of separation, by removing my eyes from form and placing them on the formless. So now, I don't feel like I'm lying to myself or just making up something. I have something real that I can hold on to in trust and faith as I say this experience that seems real is not true. And so since Holy Spirit has given me this, it now becomes something I can practice. So even as a very real conflict appears to be happening, I can remember the truth and call the conflict unreal and not feel like I'm lying or pretending. But know that what I am doing is staying with truth in the mind. Let me read this paragraph again. Watch the conflict as it seems to play out. Do not expect it to change. Now again, this is Holy Spirit is referring to that desire I told you I used to have, that the peace would come fast and then I would be free without me actually having to change my mind. That just because I wanted it to go away, it would go away. What Holy Spirit is doing is teaching me to actively change my mind. That's what Holy Spirit is doing, to truly make a different decision. Okay, so watch the conflict as it seems to play out. Do not expect it to change before I've really changed my mind, right? Don't expect it to go away so I can feel good. Okay? Do not expect that your willingness to heal will result in the disappearance of conflict and form. I got to do more than just want it to go away. I have to change my mind. Look at the conflict and accept it for what it is. It is a reflection of the purpose in the mind. It is a reflection of the purpose in the mind. The conflict is happening because our one mind has decided to have an experience that is different than truth. This is what it is. It's a joined purpose of a false experience. So look at the conflict and accept it for what it is, a joined purpose for a false experience. It is a reflection of the purpose in the mind. Then decide right then, as you look at it, that you choose a reversal of purpose. So I look at the conflict and I say to myself, I know this conflict is happening because we as one decided to have an experience that was different than truth. But I, right now, am choosing a reversal of purpose. I'm choosing awakening. I'm choosing remembrance of truth. So look at the conflict and accept it for what it is. It is a reflection of the purpose in the mind. Then decide right then, as you look at it, that you choose reversal of purpose. Instead of separation, you choose truth. Hold that thought in your mind. Remember what you're doing. Then as the conflict seems to continue, let it go right then as unreal. Everything you see, every thought you think, every desired reaction. Notice them. Remember all that I've said and let them wash away as unreal. Remember Jesus as he stood before his accusers at the Sanhedrin. This, of course, was after his arrest, the night before his crucifixion. Remember Jesus as he stood before his accusers at the Sanhedrin. The accusers did not change their way. The experience was not seen as peaceful in form. But Jesus was at peace and Jesus was in love. Because Jesus knew in his mind that all that he saw and all that he experienced was not truth. It was unreal. When you believe the conflict, you participate in it through thought. Watch your thoughts and do not participate out of faith that it isn't real. This is how you use conflict to heal the mind. You let go of what isn't and accept what is. This is true forgiveness. Let go of what isn't and accept what is. Separation isn't. Oneness is. You let go of what isn't and you accept what is. This is true forgiveness. I had another question. If the conflict continues within the illusion of form, how is it that my brother is also healed as I let go of my belief in the experience? Answer. This is where it becomes important for you to separate illusion from reality within the mind. If you look at a brother and a situation of conflict and ask, why isn't he being healed too? You believe in illusion. You are expecting form to change. This expectation is the expectation of bringing truth to illusion. You need to bring illusion to truth. You are not healed through a peaceful, easy life that denies the ego. You are healed by facing the ego and denying it. You deny it while it is rearing its ugly head. You look right at the imagined monster and say, I know you are not real, and so I will not react to you as if you are. Again, Holy Spirit is removing our eyes from form and placing them on the formless. Even as the script continues to play out, it is played out because it was agreed to in one mind, which means that oneness is all that is true. So even as the script appears to play out, we look at it and we remember truth. You are not healed through a peaceful, easy life that denies the ego. You are healed by facing the ego and denying it. You deny it while it is rearing its ugly head. You look right at the imagined monster and say, I know you are not real, and so I will not react to you as if you are. As long as the Son of God is unhealed, the ego will show itself in the world. But this is perfect for healing because you can learn who you are by recognizing the ego's inability to harm your truth. As you learn this lesson, it is transmitted into the mind that you share. Every aspect of the mind at some level becomes aware that the ego is not real. Every aspect must accept the message with you because every aspect is you. But until the message is accepted fully, the ego will still show up in the world. I don't watch the news very often right now, only because I'm doing other things with my time. That's the only reason. But occasionally, I'll be eating, lunch alone, and for a few minutes, I seem to be available to watch the news. And so when that happens, I sit down and watch the news. Often, to be honest, I have the experience of seeing nothing. I mean, like whatever's on the news is just completely silly. But sometimes I have the experience of seeing what seems to be, bad things going on in the world. And the way I've learned to watch the news is to watch the news remembering that it is a reflection of attack thoughts that I believe or have believed. And I watch the news remembering that it is the playing out of untruth because we are still choosing to see untruth. And I watch the news remembering that it isn't real. And I watch the news recommitting to my purpose to watch my mind so that when ego pops up, I recognize it and let it go and do not accept, believe it. Do not believe it. Accept it in that way. Do not believe it. It's my gift to me, my brothers, the world. So in that way, I literally take responsibility for everything that is happening. And in the words of Peace Pilgrim, I choose to be a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. Now, after all of this, I said to, because we were talking about really special relationships, relationships in which ego still has a foothold. And we were talking about how to use those special relationships for healing. And that was, again, by consciously choosing another purpose. But now I ask Holy Spirit, please talk to me about holy relationships. And now let's listen to what Holy Spirit has to say about that. We've heard that all relationships start out as special. But look at this. Holy Spirit says, all relationships are holy in the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Because all relationships have the purpose of healing. Now notice we were told all relationships start out as special. But now we're told all relationships are holy in the eyes of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, this doesn't say just the relationships that you consciously turn over to Holy Spirit are holy. This doesn't say just the relationships in which you've remembered to reverse the decision are holy. This says all relationships are holy in the eyes of the Holy Spirit. So that would mean if I have a relationship with someone and purpose doesn't seem to be a part of it at all, I'm not thinking about healing at all with this person, and this person isn't thinking about healing at all with me, right? We're totally focused on the world, totally focused on the ego. It's still a holy relationship. All relationships are holy in the eyes of the Holy Spirit because all relationships have the purpose of healing. All relationships become holy to you. All relationships become holy to you when you decide to share the Holy Spirit's purpose. So, all relationships start out as special because I am still, at least partially, looking at the relationship through my ego. All relationships start out as special because my mind is not healed. All relationships start out as special because I listen to the wrong mind at least somewhat. If I only listen to the right mind, I could only see holy relationships. So whether the relationship is special or holy is dependent on the mind that I am listening to. It's not about form. All relationships are holy in the eyes of the Holy Spirit because all relationships have the purpose of healing. All relationships become holy to you when you decide to share the Holy Spirit's purpose. Some will continue to seem conflicted, and these relationships are used to deny the reality of the ego. And some holy relationships will seem helpful. These are a means of hearing the Holy Spirit's messages for you. But all relationships serve the same purpose. The only question is which purpose are you listening to? So again, whether it's special or holy, for me, depends on what thought I'm listening to in the mind now. And all relationships are going to be partially special as long as I'm partially listening to the ego. They're only purely holy when I only listen to Holy Spirit. So it's not about changing the form of the relationship. It's about changing which mind I'm listening, which voice I'm listening to in the mind. Right mind or wrong mind. Ego or Holy Spirit. Another question. If love is giving my brother as he has asked, how am I loving him by giving him peace when he seeks separation? Now that's a damn good question, right? If love is giving to Spirit through Spirit that which Spirit requests, and if my brother wants to learn separation, then aren't I breaking the laws of love by choosing a different purpose, by choosing to remember? If he still wants to fight, aren't I breaking the laws of love by not fighting with him? Okay, let's see what this says. Your brother will see what he asks to see until he decides to see differently. If he chooses separation, he will experience separation as he chooses. But you must also remember that your brother shares a mind with you, and this mind now chooses healing. So when you give your brother healing, you are giving him what he really wants. When he is ready to see it, he will. In other words, everyone's mind is split. No one's mind is 100% ego. And the ego desire is not our true desire. The ego desire is the false desire. What we all really want is healing. The way A Course in Miracles says that is God's will for us is perfect happiness. That God mind within us wants perfect happiness, and that comes only from healing. So although my brother may appear to still want conflict, the truth is, at the deepest level of his soul, he wants peace. He wants love. So I am not violating his will by making that choice. If it's not his conscious choice now, he may leave. He may go somewhere else to play the game a little longer. But I have not violated his true will. So your brother will see what he asks to see until he decides to see differently. If he chooses separation, he will experience separation as he chooses. But you must also remember that your brother shares a mind with you, and this mind now chooses healing. So when you give your brother healing, you are giving him what he really wants. When he is ready to see it, he will. You cannot violate your brother's free will. Every action you take is an action of love, as every action is based on shared purpose. Through the decision of one mind, that shared purpose is being reversed. In joining the reversal, you are joining with the purpose of now and extending love as it is requested. And that is the end of that message, the reality of relationships. So what I'm going to do, we have about 6 minutes left, so what I'm going to do is just let go of the mic. I see you guys did a lot of chatting on the board, sharing thoughts on the board as I was speaking. I'm going to see if anybody has anything they want to say into the mic. So I'm going to let go of the mic. I do see that Steve has his hand up, so I'll turn it over to him first. Here we go.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, since I don't be lying or anything like that, we were actually had the volume turned down on America's Funniest Home Videos while we were listening. But as I was listening to you talk about this thing between Bill and... or what Bill and Duff said, the Course says, the only thing I remember the Course saying is that all relationships have the potential to be holy relationships. There's no relationship that doesn't have the potential to be a holy relationship. But I have an understanding, too, that all relationships are really the only thing they are is like a facsimile or whatever for our current relationship with God or the oneness or whatever. But I was thinking about it, and I was thinking... even though I remember the first time that I ever called you, it was like the only thing I saw that was, and I didn't even know you had anything on there later on, was just a resonance with the simple, I call them simple quiet thoughts or simple thoughts, the short, keep it simple kind of thoughts that you were putting on the David Hoffmeister's website at the time. It was like, I don't think I had any expectation except just to see why I was guided to ever, you know, call you in the first place. But I do remember 5 or 6 or 7 months after into it, you asked me a question like, well, did I want to know something about what David Hoffmeister was doing? And I said, no, that wasn't my guidance, wasn't to find out about anything that David Hoffmeister was doing. And then about a month or two later, I don't know if you remember this or not, and maybe my memory's not accurate, but you said something like, well, I don't think I'm teaching you anything. I don't think you're teaching me anything. And it seemed like everything we were sharing was just reinforcing experiences that we had that were helpful. I don't know, for me, like, I didn't have any expectation at all at the time that there was, I didn't even know, that's one of the few times I didn't even know why I was calling somebody on the phone, which was kind of surprising to me at the time, but it was like, well, it just felt like there was a resonance between what you were getting for messages from Spirit and I thought what I was getting for messages from Spirit. But something that Carl Nethercutt shared with me one time was this thing that I probably asked you to read it one time. But as far as, it's on page 6 in the Manual of Teachers, it says, when pupil and teacher come together, a teaching-learning situation begins. So I'm not sure what's meant by teaching and learning here, but and the second sentence is, for the teacher, whoever thinks they might be the teacher, whoever thinks they might be the less insane at the time, is not really the one who does the teaching. And this third sentence here is what I got from or the third and fourth sentence, what I got from what Carl says. It says, God's teacher speaks to any two who join together for learning purposes. And then the fourth sentence says, the relationship is holy because of that purpose, and God has promised to send his Holy Spirit to any holy relationship. In the bottom line, at the end, it says, I usually skip parts of this, but I guess it's not that much. It says, a teaching learning situation, each one learns the giving and receiving are the same, the demarcations they have drawn between their roles, their minds, their bodies, their needs, their interests, and all the differences that they thought separated them from one another fade and grow dim and disappear. Those who would learn the self-same course share one interest and one goal. He who was the learner becomes a teacher of God himself, for he has made the one decision that gave his teacher to him. He has seen another person, the same interest as his own. So the only reason I remember calling you is because when I noticed those postings, that was like, wow, this is what I asked Holy Spirit for. This is the keep it simple, sweet spirit, especially Steve stuff or Steve's sonship stuff. So that's what resonated with me. So, but I do know other people I've heard of that started out with the intention of having a holy relationship, thought it got special, and then maybe it turned back into a holy relationship or whatever. But for me, I was listening to what you're talking. It was like, I don't think in that situation I ever had any the least expectation as to why I was calling, just like a number of other times when I made phone calls, something like that, and called and asked for people's phone numbers. There was never any intention of like I knew what I thought I was going to get out of it. So I don't know. For me, that part just doesn't quite ring true for me in most, I mean, maybe that way in most of the experiences, but I think I can find exceptions to that where I've had no intention at all in my mind of finding something in the relationship. So it was interesting. Here's the mic back. I see Jackson has his hand up. So thanks for letting me share. Here you go.
Yeah, and we only have about a minute left, so I'm going to turn it over to Jackson immediately. Here you go.
Thank you, Regina. As I was listening to the last hour and a half, I was just thinking, you know, it's important for us to remember that relationships include every relationship. You know, whether it's a relationship to a job, a relationship to a place. You know, relationships are not one-on-one significant other. That's one in the world of form. But relationship includes everything in our life that is a symbol for our healing. It doesn't have to be people. It could be your relationship with your cat. All relationships are everything that is a symbol for thoughts that go through our mind that we work with. And I just want to say that, you know, it's very easy for us to become scared in this mysterious and dangerous world that we live in. because we collide with the inevitable contradictions and limitations of the world that are out there. So, you know, when we go into the ego mind, it's fear, and we're scared, and everybody does it, and we're working to heal that. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that, Jackson, and I appreciate you bringing that point out last. You know, like we have relationships with the news, for example, as we talked about earlier. So thank you very much. My time is up, so I'm going to go. I'm also going to try and grab something to eat pretty quickly so that hopefully I can come back and listen to Kevin Patrick Fitzgerald at 8:30 Eastern Time in about 15 minutes. So hopefully I'll see you guys very soon. Love you. Bye-bye.